This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, for like all of the morning so far, that morning, I completely forgotten it was a Friday.
It's because we started working on Wednesday.
I mean, that is the reason why. It feels like a Wednesday, but it's a Friday. Friday, gotta get down on Friday. And it starts right now.
You sound like you've already gotten down just a little too much.
I'm gassed, bud. I'm gassed. Yesterday, and not like, I actually don't know why the voice sounds gravelly today, because I
too much whiskey?
I didn't do anything yesterday.
I thought you were going home.
I mean, I had a handful of sunshine daytime brewskis.
Thought you were going home to sit outside and console your boy when his team lost.
My boy.
Joe. Was talking
oh, Joey about. B was not well.
Okay, yeah.
Joey B was not well.
And see, I let my anger cause me change my pick, and I shouldn't have did that. The only pick I changed was that pick.
Tried to.
Yeah, you were scared at the end.
Tried to help a little bit. They did.
That was a lot of points at the end of that game.
They did start making they made the late push. 14 points in the last 45 seconds of the game, and I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
I know how this is going to sound coming from me, but man, them refs swallowed the whistles. They were trying to foul, and they just would not give them a foul. It don't look like a foul to me. I'm like, dude just reached out and smacked them on the chest. That's not – he basically Gunther chopped them, and they didn't call a foul. I was like, okay, I see what they want to happen here. All right.
McNeese State, the Cowboys – make Clemson one and done. High optimism for Los Tigres coming into this tournament after an Elite Eight run last year. Instead, they shoot 17% from the floor and 7% from three for the first 20 minutes of the game. They end the first half with 13 points in total. It took them 15 minutes to get to double digits in this game. Rough.
Oh, no, it was ugly. That was just like, and it's like, did he sign that contract yet? I don't know.
Graham Neff was going through his email like, maybe he missed the signature somewhere. Let me put it this way. Yesterday, we got done. I went back to the house to watch the first, like, the opening games. And then I went out to meet Joey B and a couple of the fellas for a little sunshine, beer drinking, daytime basketball watching. And the bar that we ended up at downtown, there was like four or five of us. The bar that we ended up with at, or ended up at downtown.
Was Sheryl Crow there?
I'm missing her Cheryl Crow reference.
So she's at a bar in the day. All she wants to do is have fun.
Oh, yeah. We did. Yeah, we did. That's fair. Right. That might have been the theme song for yesterday. Because there were a lot of men's peeling the labels off of beer bottles and striking a match just to watch it burn. The bar we ended up at was apparently the official game-watching destination of the Clemson Alumni Club here in the greater Greenville area.
Oh, no.
Which, again, fine by me. I'm not in your club, but I'm not against it. Like, have your fun. So this bar was absolutely packed with Clemson alum, and they had their orange pom-poms. You can call them shakers all you want, people. They're pom-poms, all right? They had their orange pom-poms. They had on their orange and purple tiger striped sunglasses they were giving out. They had their koozies. They had it all. And again, I'm for it. You should be excited. You went to the Elite Eight last year. You set the record for most conference wins this year. It felt like after 15 years, Brad Brownell had found his stroke a little bit. Like, maybe there's some history to be made here. And then we got to about 10 minutes in the first quarter. Los Tigres are sitting on 6 points and a shooting percentage of about 14. And I'm looking around, and Joey, our buddy Joey B, friend of the show, Armada Capitan, was there. And both of us had our laptops because I was working. I did bring the laptop. I was cranking out some audio and like putting some stuff together. I was working and also having a brewski in the sunshine. And Joey B brought his stuff. And there was a moment where McNeese State got 5 or 6 consecutive offensive rebounds and finally scored a bucket. And then Clemson comes back down the other way, and they get the ball inside, and Victor Lakin just misses a bunny. I mean, just misses it off. Just put it off the square, bud. Corner of the square, no English, let it fall. And he just point blank misses, and I watch as my guy, my poor guy, Joey B, reaches up and he grabs the corners of his laptop with just his pointer and his thumb, and he just slowly closes it. And then he leans back and he looks at me and he goes, "This isn't fun." And I thought, yeah, I don't think anybody here is, anybody's here disagreeing with you there, Joey B. I don't think anybody's disagreeing with you. One of the gentlemen that came with us, who is another member of the soccer club, which is where most of my sports watching buddies come from, one of the other fellas in the soccer supporters club is a Gamecock. Now, I respect him because he showed up. He did not show up in garnet and black. He was not up on the edge of the chair being a McNeese State guy. He was just there to watch some basketball, and it happened to be Clemson playing. And as Joey B closes his laptop and he says, "I'm not having fun," my buddy to my left, Lonzo, does that chuckle thing where there's no noise, but the shoulders just kind of start going up and down a little bit, right?
That guy's a problem sometimes because people want to punch him.
And I got to give him a little bit more credit because Joey B was on my right and he was on my left. And as he started like shaking the shoulders because he's like hysterically laughing on the inside, but he can't let it show. Not just because, you know, he and Joey B are boys too. You know, you don't want to laugh at your boy's face while they're getting trounced.
Actually,
you do it later in the day.
No, you kind of do.
You let it stew for a little while. You don't do it, especially you don't do it when your boy is surrounded by about 85 other alum from that school. So I realize as he's laughing, because I kind of like leaned back to see what was happening when I saw the vibrating shoulders. As I leaned back to see what was happening, I realized that he was matching my body movement to stay silhouetted so Joey B wouldn't see the shoulders vibrating. It was so funny. But what was not funny was this game. Goodness gracious. Victor could get nothing going. The Clemson offense was, I think it's fair to say, inept. And, you know, look, what was my biggest takeaway, or I guess I should say preview point going into that game? The thing that I kept talking about going into that game was McNeese State plays a defense. They are long. They are athletic. They're going to be in your face, and they're quick. They're quick. You have got to be smart about moving the ball around the floor, and you've got to be efficient close to the basket, and this team wasn't. Listen, you finished the game 21 of 57 for 36.8%. You finished the game 9 of 30 for 30% from three. Those numbers came in the last 45 seconds of the game because those numbers were hovering at like 20 and 10% for, I don't know, 38 minutes.
I think you could blame this on your star Hunter, right? I think you could blame this on him because his shots weren't dropping. He had opportunities and had to be benched for a little while. It just looked like either they were starstruck or they didn't come to play. I don't know. Some of it is they got out talented for sure, and you, as you talked about matchups for sure. But some days your shot doesn't drop. Some days you're just having a bad day, and it's like osmosis. Everybody on the team catches it, and they can't do anything either.
I mean, it was
and Locken. I mean, don't talk stuff to a guy as he's walking by when you have four fouls. I mean, what a way to go out. That was just like, okay. And you could see he was definitely, I mean, I wish I knew what he said, but still, he said enough to get him kicked out of the game.
The Chauncey Wiggins, 3 of 12. Ian Sheflin, if you want, I mean, I'm not saying you put it on Ian Sheflin. 0 of 4 from the floor, 0 of 2 from range, 1 of 2 from the stripe, and 1 point.
They look like they're way too fast for him.
So Ian Sheflin's like this interesting character as a basketball guy to me. And I was talking about this with some of the Clemson people yesterday. He's such an interesting character. Joe called him, and I thought it was maybe the most apt player description I've heard in a long time. He said he is like the Pokemon final evolution of YMCA white guy that just cooks everybody down at the rec, right? Like just that guy that he walks in the gym and you're picking teams and nobody wants to get him because he's just this guy. Like that comparison came about because they showed Sheflin at one point early in the game when the shots just were not falling for Clemson. And I told Joey B, I'm like, that cat cracks me up because he's a baller, but he also looks like a dude that I would expect to see if I got showed up to play in a new D&D party DMing the game. Like he just looks like a dude. He looks like a dude that if I passed him at the Costco, I wouldn't think anything of it. It's like, that's just another guy. But he's a baller. And yet in this game, he just could not find a comfort zone. He did have 8 boards. He did have a couple of assists. But he didn't find a stroke in this game. I'll tell you what I thought the biggest failure for Clemson was in this game. I don't think that Clemson was prepared for a couple of things. I don't think that they were prepared for the length and the speed of McNeese State. I think a lot of Clemson fans yesterday, because when I said yesterday, and in fact, if you would like to go to the Bracket Challenge page, you will notice that I picked this upset. I missed one game yesterday.
See, I don't
15
know.
15 and 1, baby.
I'm looking on here and I don't know what your name is on here.
So. Ball Knower Rob Brown, TRBS.
Wow, that sounds like
don't a, worry. You like don't have to go far down the list. Great one. I am in it's a big tie, but a tie for second right now with 140 points. Sorry, I missed two games. I was 14 and 2 yesterday. As of right now, our leader going 15 and 1 was bracket. I got this TRBS. I don't know whose bracket that is. If it's you, shoot us a text to the text line at 844-326-3663 and let us know. I don't know who this bracket belongs to. All I know is that there's a hell of a lot of TRBSs up at the top of the list right now. Number one overall with a 15-1 opening day, inside of the top 99.9% of brackets submitted is I Got This TRBS. Tied for second, great one. Tied for second are these brackets. Ball Knower Rob Brown TRBS. That's me. Mrs. Rob Brown TRBS is in a tie for second after day one at 14-2.
Okay, is that actually her?
That is actually her.
Did she pick her own bracket? Because some people are going to ask that question.
She said that. We were going out last night. We went out to the wine house last night to have a couple of glasses of Pinot and enjoy the late night basketball. And we're on the drive there. And first off, may I, because I told you this is going to be friendly competition because I want to be the best, but I shout out to Cole Bryson, who was giving me and the missus a shout out yesterday on Wire to Wire, because going into the last three games, there was like a four-way tie for first place, and she and I were two of the brackets. And so we're on the drive, and she's like, this is going to suck. And I'm like, why? And she goes, because I filled out my bracket for real, and everybody's just going to say that you did it. I will tell you this. You have it on my father's grave that my wife filled out her own bracket. And you can take that to the bank, great one, because her national championship pick is Kentucky.
Okay.
If I filled out her bracket, I promise you with a capital P, her national championship pick would not have been Kentucky.
Okay, we've got a couple other things that I don't know. I don't know what Cole's name is on here, and I don't know what Diesel's name is on here.
I don't either.
I'm curious as to where they are, because people took it upon themselves, and it's funny, to use our names for stuff. So
I love it.
I will tell you, I have 110 points. And none of my losses...
11-5, not a bad day.
None of my losses were any teams that I expected to go out of the next round.
Yeah.
So I'm still good.
Yeah, I have not, so far, I have not lost anybody that's a deep run for me. In fact, the only two teams I lost off my bracket were... Georgia, who I had picked moving over into the next round, and I missed on, what was the other one I missed on? Now I'm blanking on the other
Drake?
One. Yes, Mizzou. Drake and Mizzou. I had Mizzou knocking off Drake. So 14-2 at the top of the bracket leaderboard. And again, shout out to Cole, because Cole on the show yesterday was like, yo, you got to give the flowers to Rob Brown having a whale of a first day. Let's see if we can continue the Momo today. But shout out to Cole for giving the shout out. Top of the leaderboard right now with a 15-1 record is I Got This TRBS. We got some Armada members up at the top of the leaderboard. Mrs. Rob Brown is up there at 14-2. Ball Knower Rob Brown is up there at 14-2. Bracket Cole runs a 5-2-40 question mark. Is up there at 14-2.
I'm guessing that's not him. Because there would be no question mark.
It would be a period.
Yeah.
Falcon Jeremy TRBS is up there. Logan TRBS 14-2. Brian Pettit 14-2. Down to 13-3. Bo's bomb ass bracket TRBS is up there. Marco Polo at TRBS is up there. Swish Army TRBS is in there. Hey, look at that. P1 April. April Mosley TRBS is at 13-3. Brooke R TRBS is 13-3. My Crappy Picks Laughing Emoji TRBS is 13-3. Sullivan Creative Company. My man P1 Keegan at 13-3 up at the top. Listen, we got 16 games in the books, and 10 of those were layup picks, right? We didn't really have any big bracket busters on day one. We didn't really have any big bracket busters day one. Will that change up today? Will today be a more compelling day than yesterday? I don't know. But we've got to talk about Clemson. We got to talk about the SEC because they lost two teams yesterday. Georgia went down. Mizzou went down. Did we maybe overshine the SEC a little bit? Because I got to tell you, I got two SEC teams in my Final Four, both on one side of the bracket. Let's talk about Auburn a little bit. They didn't look like a national championship team in game one, but they did get a 20-point win. Is that good enough? We got a lot of basketball we got to get to on the show, but that's not all. We got to get soccer because I was very angry last night about Team USA soccer. We're going to come to that. We got to get a little baseball. The Braves added a big name yesterday, but a name that hasn't really been super relevant lately. Is it going to help with opening day now less than a week away? It is going to be a busy one here on the show. I am Rob Brown. He's the great one, Lonzo. You are listening to the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There it is. There it is. Let's see here. Scotty from BMW texts the show. On the Spartan Burgers, the Hub City Spartan Burgers text line. 844-326-3663. Said, hey, Rob, I hope you heard my smack talk and rally the Tolo troops yesterday around 6:30 on Wire to Wire in prime time. Scotty, I did not, because at 6:30, the wife and I were sitting down with a couple of friends to have a couple of nice glasses of Pinot Grigio and watch a little basketball together. So I did not get a chance to hear it, but I will go back and listen. Again, we asked for a little friendly smack talk. We got a little friendly smack talk. I'm here for it.
If anyone knows what Diesel's name on here is, please let us know, because I can't find it anywhere. And he may have labeled it something weird.
I'm sure he did, right? There's no way he didn't fill out a bracket.
Why did I can't find it.
There's no way he didn't.
The only
didn't
mention
fill out
of Diesel was Diesel loves WWE, and we know that's not
which
him.
Is hilarious. In the bracket, by the way, just because I went and I was curious about it. In the bracket, the most selected national champions were Florida and Duke. Both of those teams had 40 brackets select them as the national championship winner. So if Florida or Duke win the Natty, it's going to be an absolute mess up at the top of the leaderboard. If anybody else wins the Natty, it could get interesting. Here are the rest of the most picked teams, including those that have been eliminated. Auburn, 9 brackets, including yours truly, selected the Auburn Tigers. 7 brackets selected the St. John's Red Storm. 6 brackets selected the Houston Cougars. 5 brackets, and I like this as a dark horse, 5 brackets selected the Michigan State Spartans. 4 selected the Alabama Crimson Tide. 3 brackets selected Clemson. They are the only team that had somebody pick them as a national championship winner to be eliminated in the opening day. We do still have 16 more games to go in this opening round. But through the first 16 games, the only team that had at least one bracket pick them as a Natty winner to be eliminated is Clemson. 3 brackets selected Tennessee, 1 selected New Mexico, 1 Wisconsin, and 1, my wife, Kentucky. If Kentucky wins this national championship, it's going to be a weird spot for me, Zoe, because on one hand, I'm going to be the most proud husband on the face of the planet, and on the other hand, I'm never going to hear the bleeping end of it. And I don't know which one of those is better or worse.
Even though it would mean that I would lose, I hope she wins.
I mean, in a weird way, I do hope she wins. I think that would be incredible if she's the only person and Kentucky gets it. They're not going to, but I do think it would be absolutely incredible. All right, so let's take a look. I was on last night. I was on BetMGM tonight, and you guys know I'm a big Brad Evans guy. Brad Evans knows more about college basketball. Brad Evans has forgotten more about college basketball than I'll know, and I know ball. Brad Evans doesn't know ball. He is like the Doc Manhattan of college basketball. He knows all. He sees all. It's wild. When I jumped on that show with him last night, there were still, I think, 2 games in action, and the 2 10 o'clock games had yet to tip off. I was on with them at, I think, 8:30 last night. And Brad said that he thought day one was boring. He thought day one was boring. He said that there's no bracket busters on day one. You know, I said, I don't disagree with you in that, you know, even if it's a bracket buster, the beautiful thing about March is the St. John's, or excuse me, the damn it, what were the Peacocks? St. Pete's, the St. Peter's Peacocks. Those stories make it fun. A Furman over Virginia make March fun. And we didn't really have that yesterday. The closest we got to it was McNeese State over Clemson. But again, you get a 5-12 upset every year. So I don't know that I agree with them, though, and I'll tell you why. Because I think there were takeaways from a lot of games that maybe it didn't give you like a super electric round one, but I think it gives you a setup for a very competitive and parity-filled round two. Here's what I mean. Auburn takes on the Alabama State Hornets yesterday. They win 83-63. The spread on that game was 28.5. They win by 20. Got the cover in that game, by the way. Did Auburn look great? No. In fact, after the game, Bruce Pearl said, if we play like that on Saturday, Creighton will beat us. Creighton punked Louisville, 89-75, your final in that one. And that Creighton, this is why it's fun to me, because there is this question mark of, was this Creighton, the Blue Jays, a team I did talk up yesterday, by the way, is this Creighton team that good? Or, as bad as we all said the ACC was this year, was it worse than that? Because Clemson goes down yesterday. They were the very clear second best team in the ACC overall this year, right? They go down to a 12 seed in round one. Auburn gets the win over Alabama State. They didn't look, to me, they didn't look like a national championship winning team. They are my national championship winning pick, but they didn't look like it yesterday. And again, as Bruce Pearl said, they play like that against Creighton, against the Jays, they'll lose. Creighton looked real good. Did Creighton look good because Creighton looked good? Or did Creighton look good because Louisville's bad? Because Louisville's bad. And that's a fair question. So now this Auburn-Creighton matchup at 7 p.m. on Saturday, it looks real compelling. Michigan almost became a 5-12 matchup last night. They allowed UC San Diego to hang around a hell of a lot longer than they should have. Michigan ends up winning 68-65, get a couple of clutch shots down the line to finish them off. But I look at Michigan now, a 5 seed, and a team that a lot of Big Ten fans were projecting to maybe have a bit of a run up to Auburn in this tournament. And, I mean, they were under the gun. Is that because Michigan is maybe not what the Big Ten was kind of trying to hype them up to be, or was there something else to this? I don't know. But who do they get? Texas A&M, 80-71 winners over Yale. Here's why I find this one very interesting. Because every year, the Ivy League sends a school that goes out there and they just play YMCA, rec league, white boy, fundamentals matter basketball. And every year they have an Ivy League team that plays white league, rec league, fundamental basketball, and they upset somebody or they scare the hell out of somebody or whatever. And for a few minutes there, it looked like that was going to be Yale. And then A&M just did what the Aggies have been doing. They did it to Auburn. Just beat the crap out of them. We're going to play physical. You want fundamentals to matter? Fine. We're going to put the ball on the block. We're going to lean into it. And we're going to make you fist fight us.
What was that?
Leaning on the defender. Back to the basket.
Doing a New Day thing or something.
Nah.
Okay.
Get the ball, post it up. Got to get him on the back inside shoulder. You got to lean a little bit. See if you can draw the foul. Figure out which way he wants to defend. Bang, spin the other way. So Texas A&M Michigan in round number two, a 4-5 matchup. I am really excited about this one. Really excited about this one. What else? Down in the bottom half of the bracket, Drake knocks off Mizzou 67-57. That's an 11-6 matchup. Again, didn't really feel like it was like this big dramatic upset. But this was a Missouri team that I had in my Sweet 16. I lost the Sweet 16 team yesterday. Just one, but that's a big blow. I've already lost one out of my round of 32. Drake never let Mizzou win that game. Now, I'm not super worried about being wrong about Mizzou making it to the Sweet 16, because I do have them dropping one to St. John's at that point, because I have bought into the Rick Pitino hype. The reason this one's compelling is because Mizzou was kind of right there in the middle of the heap of those SEC teams, 13 teams in the tournament, right in the middle of that heap. This was one of those spots that you look and you go, all right, if Mizzou comes in and they make noise, then those of us who picked Florida or Auburn or Alabama to win an Natty, we got to feel a lot better, right? You go, damn, the SEC was that good. But they don't just lose to Drake. Drake never let him in the front door. And so now all of a sudden, I'm looking at this one and going, okay, hang on just a second here. Hang on just a second here. Were we maybe putting a little too much shine on them? Was there maybe a little too much shine on the SEC? Because if so, my Auburn pick doesn't feel as good. The Florida pick doesn't feel as good. The Bama picks don't feel as good. Now we got to ask the question, were we doing this year to SEC basketball what we have always, those of us who are not SEC guys, have always accused the SEC fans of doing in SEC football? Just everybody in that conference says they're the best, and since nobody gets the chance to show up and show out and prove them wrong, they get walks, right? I don't know. And I think Drake put that question yesterday. But then I turn around and John Cal in Arkansas take out Bill Self in Kansas, which I picked as well, by the way. You're welcome if you listen to me. Bill Self in Kansas gone. This was a team a lot of y'all had into the Elite Eight. Arkansas knocks him out. Maybe it's not a bad thing, the thoughts that we had about the SEC. St. John's does what they're supposed to do. Hey, shout out to Wofford. They had Tennessee fans sweating for a minute there.
Yeah, I mean,
shout out to the Terriers.
That was a great showing. Yeah. I know, no moral victories, but they were there to play.
And shout
Tennessee
out.
Was like, oh.
Yeah. Listen, the annual Rick Barnes collapse-a-thon is coming. And I told Joey B at the bar, I'm like, yo, I'm going to tell you right now, if Wofford knocks off UT in game number one, I might go get a little Terrier tattoo on my ankle. I might go get me a little Terrier tattoo just to celebrate that. They made me sweat. But I think, like, I look at Tennessee now, and I'm like, I don't know if they're that dominant force. Let's keep going. Let's keep evaluating day one. We're going to preview game two. Lulu Kesson at 8, Rashad Beard at 8:40, and who the hell else knows what's going to happen? Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. In February of the year 2020, a much more formidable Rob Brown, with much less gray hair, showed up to audition for a spot.
And he was not 40 then.
No, he was very not 40. He is very 40 now. Showed up here in the lovely upstate of South Carolina and sat behind this very microphone to do 6 hours of live radio to audition to become a member of what would become the Fan Upstate. And when I got here on day number one, at the time I was auditioning for the 12 to 3 p.m. time slot. So I came in at 8 o'clock that morning, the very first morning, a Monday morning, to shake babies and kiss hands with everybody that works here. I came in that morning to meet the people. I came in that morning to have a little sit down with a young man that would eventually become my boss. And we had a talk. In which he said, you know, welcome to the area. Did you endure your trip? Yada, yada, yada. And I said, I did. Thank you very much. And he said, great. Here's what I want to hear out of you for the next 2 days. Now, it was very interesting because Kobe Bryant had passed away the day before I got here for that audition. And so it was kind of one of those spots where it's like, man, this show, as you have all come to learn over the past half decade that I have been here, God, what has happened? This show is meant to be.
Don't put regret in there.
Not regret.
Okay. All right.
Just how damn fast 5 years have gone by. So
wait till it's 25.
I don't want to. Those of you that have been listening, you know this show is about being upbeat, positive, energetic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And here I come that morning. I got to come on the air less than 24 hours after Kobe Bryant passes away, and I got to try to convince y'all and the guys I'm trying to get to hire me that I'm capable of having a great show even when something like that happens. And I think we did a good job. But as we were sitting down, and he goes, I know you have to address this. I know you got to talk about it. He said, I know you're a basketball guy, and I know that you were kind of coming of age during Kobe's reign as the GOAT. Like, I know you got to address it. So you do what you think you got to do to make this show good in the heat of tragedy. And I said, I appreciate it. And my now boss said, I got two things that I need you to discuss, that I need you to make segments out of, because I need to see if and how you can connect to our audience talking about their stuff. One of them was Will Muschamp at South Carolina. The other was Brad Brownell. Because, again, it was late February. We were wrapping up the ACC basketball schedule, and he basically wanted to see, number one, do you know Clemson? Do you know their issues? Do you know basketball? Like, can we trust you when it's not college football season to still be able to do a show? And I said, sure, no problem. Now, we're not going to go back and revisit that conversation from 5 years ago. The point that I wanted to make was that 5 years ago, that was the conversation we were having. 5 years ago, the question mark was, can this man, this head coach, can this guy do the job? Can they win something? Can something happen here with him? And I said back then 5 years ago, I said, I'm going to tell you this. I think Brad Brownell's a good coach. I think Brad Brownell's a good coach. The problem I think you're going to bump into with Brad Brownell is that it feels like there's a lot of vibes. It feels like it's predominantly based on vibes. And there are some coaches who can make vibes work, but not a lot. You got to be able to coach. And I would say in that game last night, I was listening to Wire to Wire about, I don't know, 6 o'clock, 6:15 yesterday. And I heard Diesel and Cole get into it a little bit. It was after the Clemson game was over. And Diesel was kind of going on about like, hey, man, you signed this cat to an extension last year. You signed him to a new extension the day before he suffers the 12-5 upset. And he loses to a Clemson alum by the name of Will Wade that Clemson, had they moved on from Brad Brownell 2 years ago, could have had as the head coach. And now there's multiple parts to that argument. The first I would make is, I think that at that point in time, Will Wade was probably still too close to his termination at LSU. I think there was probably a little bit too much stank on the name at that point that it would have been the hire you wanted to make. Because while it would have been, I think even at the time, to me anyway, it felt like Will Wade was a good head coach. I felt like there was too much drama packaged up in his name for a team that was trying to figure out how to get an upward trajectory, right? Like that would have come with a little bit of an image that I don't know that Clemson basketball wanted at the time. And Cole responded back to him and said, I think Brad Brownell's a better coach than Will Wade. I think Brad Brownell's a better coach. And Cole said, I've talked to a lot of people in the college basketball landscape and took one step further and said, I think most people, and shout out to Cole Bryson because he gets it. He said, I think most people who know ball think Brad Brownell's a better coach than Will Wade. And I said, you know what? I kind of got to think about that a little bit. Because what I don't want to do is say that the one time that those two gentlemen stood across from each other, Will Wade way got the better of Brad Brownell, is a definitive statement on the abilities of these two fellas as coaches, and which one's better and which one's not. What I will say is this. Yesterday, my takeaway was, I think Brad Brownell is a vibes guy, but I don't know that the vibes guy is going to be enough to get it done. Because what happened yesterday was McNeese State just making little changes in what they were trying to do, and there were no answers for Clemson. Now, I got to defend Brad on one thing. At the end of the day, Brad can't make the layups. At the end of the day, Brad can't make the threes. He can't. I mean, if you go out there, you're getting open looks at the rack, and you're going, what was Clemson at the half? 1-for-13 from range? He can scheme you open all day. If you can't put the brown thing in the round thing, it's not going to matter. But Will Wade was just little tinkering things, right? Alonzo pointed out Victor taking 5 fouls. And frankly, probably what, 2, maybe 3 of them were pretty unnecessary. In a game where, because again, I'm gonna play you a clip real quick. Because I said earlier in the show, I do not think that Clemson was, or at least it didn't play like, they were knowledgeable of McNeese State, right? Like it felt like it was, you know, I don't know about you guys, when I played high school ball, we used to do these Christmas tournaments, right? We'd travel around and we'd go to different high schools or colleges or whatever, and we'd play these Christmas tournaments full of teams from different areas around the country. And you would show up and you'd have like, four or five pool games, and then they take the top teams and have a tournament to determine the champ. And what would happen is you would show up and basically you didn't know jack all about the teams you were going to play. And so you went out there on the floor and you did what you did and they did what they did. And then if you were fortunate to have a coach who knows ball, they would start making the adjustments. And very frequently those holiday tournaments were won by whatever team had the best coach because they could make the adjustments. And most high school coaches, good guys, good coaches, but like they don't see the game that way. That's what it felt to me like yesterday towards the end of the first half for Clemson. It felt to me like they got out there on the floor and they were playing a team they were just completely unfamiliar with. Here's what Brad had to say after the L. That's not what I want to hear, man. It's just not. Like, here's the takeaway I had.
He did take accountability and say,
I appreciate
it's his fault.
I appreciate that. And in that spot, when you got seniors who are sitting next to you on the podium crying because their careers came to an end with a 12-5 upset in their best chance to do something, like, I'm glad he took the accountability. It would have been very easy for somebody to grab the mic and go, hey, man, what do you want? We couldn't hit a shot. We're missing bunnies. We're missing layups. We can't hit a three to save our butts. Like, it would have been easy. You are correct. And I appreciate that. The problem is, he's right about what he said. I was watching the way that the McNeese State defense was attacking Clemson offense. And all they're doing is dropping off into kind of a hybrid 1-3-1-2-3, right? They're two guys up top. There's clearly a one. There's clearly a man in the middle. But there, anytime the ball goes to the other side of the floor, those two guys are playing more parallel. It's like watching a soccer formation. In a soccer formation, when the ball passes the back line, your guys on that back line have to know where all the guys on that back line are so that if you're going to step up to create an offside trap, all five got to go. One guy screws that up, the whole thing falls apart. So you got two guys playing, one clearly on the point, one clearly on the line, but when the ball would go left or right, they would kind of flatten out and turn it into a two-man front, and they'd rotate with the ball. And when Clemson would bring the ball up, they're stacking guys on the wing, they're bringing the ball up to the point, and as they're getting the ball out to the wing, that defense rotates over, they're not expecting to get jumped there, and then it was panic mode. That's Will Wade just beating Brad Brownell, recognizing that this team has a thing they want to do on offense. They want to get the ball to the point, left or right, and then try to take advantage of moving Victor around under the paint. And he took that away from them, and they didn't know what to do yesterday. So this is a spot. I don't think I'm overreacting. I don't think I'm overreacting. But I don't see national championship capability in Brad Brownell. Here's my question, though. And this is why this conversation to me remains interesting about, it doesn't matter if the question is, do we move on? You just signed the man to a big-ass extension, which also means he's got a big-ass payout you got to take care of, so he's not going anywhere. But when you talk about ability, capability, in a spot like that for a guy like Brad Brownell, I also have to look and go, would other coaches have been able to take this group of guys and do anything with it? Because, with respect, Victor's a great player. And Shefflin's a glue guy. He's a good glue guy. Good player. But he's a glue guy. And Shefflin's a guy that if I put him on Auburn's team, he's not a starter. He's a sixth man. And a damn good one, but he's a sixth man. If I take that guy and I throw him onto Duke's team, he's a six man. If I throw him on to Alabama, he might be a starter, but I think he's probably a six man. Brad took that type of team, and he went to the Elite Eight last year. He won more conference games than ever before. Would another coach be able to take the roster that was built there and do something with it? And the answer is, I don't know. I don't know. But then there's the next step in that line of thought, which is, if you had somebody else there, if you had Will Wade there, Would that be the roster? Let's keep in mind, the guys that Will Wade put on the court yesterday to represent McNeese State as the 12 seed and get the 12-5 upset, a lot of those guys were guys that he recruited to LSU that followed him to McNeese State. A lot of those guys, by the way, you want to pay attention to this, Clemson fans. A lot of those guys are guys that are going to follow him from McNeese State to NC State next year. A lot of what beat you yesterday, you're going to have to play next year in conference because they're going to follow Brad there. He's got good, lengthy, talented, underappreciated players, and they are bought all in on him. So I'm at a tough spot with Brad Brownell right now because on one hand, I think from every story I've ever heard about him, he's a great dude. He loves the school. He and Dabo are boys. Him and Neff are boys. Like, I've heard nothing but good things about this cat. On the flip side, do we want to do 5 more years of this, 6 more years of this? You just signed the man to an extension to 2031. From what you saw, what do you want here? Because that game to me, yesterday's game to me for Clemson, was lost on the X's and the O's. That game yesterday was lost in the X's and O's. It was lost in Will Wade having a defense, a zone-style defense that Clemson did not see a lot of in the ACC this year, but it was also tinkered, modified, adapted to how Clemson wants to attack that type of zone, and Clemson did not make the adjustments in the game to start getting around it, and it led to the most miserable first half of college basketball that I have watched all year. 13 points, 17% shooting, 7% from behind the arc, and how many turnovers? Miserable first half. And the only thing that even made it look like it was a competitive game was that at the end of the game, McNeese State was dribbling around, and Clemson found a way to go on a run and put up, was it 14 in the last 45 seconds? The game was not that close. So, I don't know, man. Like, it's a weird spot because on one hand, I don't know that Clemson's not a spot that if Brad leaves, all of a sudden, the guys who signed up to play for Brad because they like him start going elsewhere, and maybe the team just stinks and the roster's never the same again. On the flip side, what I saw yesterday, it's not that you lost. It's not that you lost. It's that you played 20 minutes of the worst basketball I've seen all season on the biggest stage of all. That ain't it, Chief. You know what is it? Lonzo's Sports Flash.
Hey, stop me if you've heard this. It's one and done for the Clemson Tigers after dropping their opening round game to McNeese State. The 69-67 Tigers finished the first half with just 13 points, taking 15 minutes to reach double digits. It was bad. Clemson trailed by as many as 24 before scoring 14 in the final 45 seconds to close the margin. The Wofford Terriers gave all they had but fell short of upsetting Tennessee, falling in the opening round 72-62. Jackson Silvis had 15 and Corey Tripp added 14 in the loss. Alex Ovechkin has moved one goal closer to Wayne Gretzky's all-time scoring record after netting career goal 888 last night in a 3-2 Washington victory over Philadelphia. Ovechkin's goal came in the first period, and the win locked Washington into the NHL playoffs. Make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 for Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel ride shotgun on your drive home right here on the Fan Upstate.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.